Welcome on board a daily adventure to discover true wisdom, authentic hope, a stronger faith, and profound joy. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. This is the Debbie Chavez Show.
You're the shining star, no matter who you are. Shining bright to see, what you can truly be, what you can truly be.
Welcome, friends and neighbors. Oh, it is so awesome to be back together again with each and every one of you as we journey through this life together toward hope, wisdom, and joy. The program today focusing on the Holy Spirit, something that is, well, sort of mystifying for a lot of Christians because, you know, the Holy Spirit, invisible. And whenever you even say the word Spirit, it already is like, you know, we're just kind of stumped as to like, well, what does this mean? And how do I get the help of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, well, my guest has been on a journey to really understand the teachings that Jesus offered about the Holy Spirit. And she has discovered some profound things, and she has some just amazing and exciting stories about how the Holy Spirit has made himself known to her and helped her. And it's just going to be so exciting as she reveals some of that and teaches us how to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life, the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. Yeah, all of this coming up in just a moment with author Sarah Bowling. But before that, we like to start out the show with just a small Bible-based pearl of wisdom for all the wives tuning in today. You know, I should back up here a second because I intro'd this by saying, you know, a pearl of wisdom. I want to make it clear that I don't think that I'm like super wise or anything. Please don't get me wrong. It's a Bible-based pearl of wisdom. The Bible has all the wisdom that we need for every single situation. Okay, just wanted to clear that up. So today I want to talk to you about protecting your marriage, ladies. You know, when we first pledge our love to each other on our wedding day, we never, ever, ever think that either one of us could possibly end up cheating on the other, right? Or have, you know, having an affair years later. We don't ever even think that could possibly happen to us because we love each other so much. But tragically, it does happen quite frequently, and even among Christian couples. We can't be ignorant of Satan's mission to tear us apart. You know, his mission is revealed by Jesus in John 10:10, where he says Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And Satan would like nothing better than to rip apart your marriage. He's always plotting ways to get you or your spouse connected with someone of the opposite sex. That's why we have to be vigilant from day one. I'm not trying to put fear in you, but hey, let's just be alert to the schemes of the enemy. You know, James 4, verse 7 advises us, "Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Well, one of the ways we can resist the devil's schemes to destroy our marriages is to talk with our husbands about rules, guidelines we will both follow relating to the opposite sex. I would like to suggest this. Agree together, you guys, that you will never spend time alone with another man, and your husband will never spend time alone with another woman. Period. If your job requires you to be in a one-on-one meeting with someone of the opposite sex, agree that the door will always be left ajar. Agree that you will never share anything personal about your marriage with the member of the opposite sex. If at all possible, agree to never even work as a two-person team with a member of the opposite sex on a project or at your job, because that feeling of being teamed up with someone of the opposite sex when it's just the two of you, that is extremely bonding, and then danger lies ahead. Ladies, safeguard your marriage. You might think, oh, you don't need all these strict rules, but I know from personal experience, unfortunately, that you do. Many solid Christians have fallen into Satan's trap by failing to follow these simple guidelines. Don't let your marriage be another notch in the devil's belt. Be alert to his schemes and then put some safeguards, some guidelines in place so he can't sneak in and start causing a bond between you and another man or between your husband and another woman. Well, now to the main topic of the day, which is how in the world we can experience the Holy Spirit in our daily life, because we all want some of that, don't we? And yet it's kind of mysterious, and we don't really necessarily understand how we can experience that. Well, someone who is I won't say finished the journey, but is still in the process of figuring this out herself and has written a whole book about it, I invite to the program Colorado pastor, television co-host, author, Sarah Bowling. Hi there, Sarah.
Debbie, how's it going?
It is going well. I'm really looking forward to this because I've bumped into so many women who, you know, they say, well, you know, I just wish I could hear from the Holy Spirit. I wish I could get some guidance from the Holy Spirit. And it seems to be a little bit of a puzzling thing for a lot of women. So I'm very thankful that you've written this book called Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. And in fact, I would like you to tell this little story that you open with in the book, because this is one of those, well, tiny examples, but an example of how the Holy Spirit can counsel us, guide us, when we just need a little bit of help. So can you share the story about when your four-year-old son, your four-year-old son helped you find something that you needed at that moment?
Yeah, it was like a Friday afternoon, and one of my kids, I thought, had an ear infection. I was trying to get to the doctor, so, you know, we didn't have to do the whole weekend with, you know, ear pain. And I couldn't find my purse, which had the, you know, health insurance card in it, and I'm getting increasingly frantic because the afternoon is dwindling and my window of opportunity for the doctor kept decreasing. I'm like, know, I can't find my purse.
Yes.
I'm getting increasingly flustered. I got all three of my kids packed in the car, and I told them all, I was like, y'all need to pray. And they could tell I was just getting frantic and frenzied. And you need to pray. We got to, you know. And then my son, he's like, stop. And I'm like, and he's normally like super quiet and doesn't say anything.
Oh.
And he's like, stop. I said, what? We can't stop. We got to pray. He's like, stop and listen.
Ooh.
And God will show you. And I was like,
oh
my gosh.
And he was four,
was awesome.
Right?
Exactly.
Oh, my.
And that's exactly what we did. I said, okay, let's stop. And I just settled down.
Yeah.
I sat for a second, and I paused, and I felt the Holy Spirit say in my heart,
mm.
call the ice cream shop. Went to the ice cream shop in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You left it there. I was like, okay.
Huh.
I called the ice cream shop, and sure enough, they're like, yep, we have this purse that matches this description. Pop over, and we'll have it for you.
Wow.
Like, that's
wow.
amazing. Yeah.
I love so many parts of that little story. Number one, that it had to be the four-year-old that would go, you know, maybe we should just stop and be quiet and pray and listen. I just love that part. And then that God, you know, he cares about little details. You know, it's like he wasn't telling you about something, you know, incredible he was going to have you do in ministry. He's just helping you find your purse, you know?
Yeah. And that's this book, because this book is all about every day.
Yeah.
You're in the Holy Spirit. And I love that the Holy Spirit, the helper. And that's
yes.
what Jesus says, help. And there's not a person listening that doesn't need help.
Oh
my goodness.
Oh, yeah, we all need it, and we crave that guidance. And I have so many similar little stories, and not that I'm anything special at all, but I've slowly over my Christian walk, you know, figured out, okay, maybe I should just stop and pray. Maybe I should just stop and pray and then listen and ask for God to give me, you know, just that word to my spirit of, you know, turn this way, turn that way. And it's been amazing, some of the crazy things that he's told me. I can't say that I've heard clearly every time, but sometimes I do. So let's talk about first the Holy Spirit as our helper. And this is where you point us to what Jesus taught in John 14:16, where he said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. And you really unpack this looking at like the original Greek meanings of these different words. And what did you learn as you really delved into this particular scripture?
Yeah, one of the things that was awesome for me, and in the book it's really helpful because it's just takes it line upon line, you know, and it's not just, you know, scholarly, it's super, super practical. But I found that, like, this idea, Jesus uses the word paraclete, that's
yes.
the Greek word paraclete,
mm-hmm.
To call alongside. And it frustrated me at first when I looked at that word, because I thought, this has so many different meanings,
mm-hmm.
so many different ways that it's used throughout the whole New Testament. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit said, that's my point.
Mm-hmm.
I am so relevant. You
mm-hmm.
just don't. I'm integrated in your life in so many ways that you can't just dial me into one little corner.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm your helper, and as much as you call and ask for help, that opens the opportunities, the doors for me to participate, to be integrated in your daily living. And so, the book, I give a boatload of examples, and there's a really cool part of the book where
yes.
I made an allegory.
Right.
right? And that's super helpful because I think sometimes when we think spirit, it gets really ethereal, right? And it's hard for people who are more concrete and, you know, tangible. It's like, well, how do you get your arms around something cloudy?
I know.
So I wrote the allegory. There's an allegory at the end of every chapter that really dials in and gives an illustration, a practical daily illustration of what this looks like with two ladies, right? Ruth and Naomi. Super, super practical, and I believe very helpful.
You know, you described several other instances where you had just really amazing experiences with the Holy Spirit as your helper in particular. Could you tell us maybe one of your favorite other stories? I mean, you've got the one about driving on some snowy roads, and one time you didn't listen when the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, you need to be putting some more money in the parking meter. I mean, give us one of your favorites there.
Yeah, I think that's really good for me. I like to talk about when I mess up, when I fail, because I think we always want to paint ourselves, you know, I'm really good, and, and I'm not. I'm like, oh, man, I missed that. Shoot, I hate that. And even recently, I missed some opportunities. I felt like the Holy Spirit told me to pray for somebody. I was like, oops, I forgot, sorry. But the parking meter one, you know, I was like, I went to get my hair done, and my parking meter only lets you put in like 2 hours worth of money. And I was like, well, I won't be here 2 hours. So then I shortchanged it. And I had this little red flag in my heart, I need to add more. I'm like, no, it's okay. You know, just, you know, save money, be efficient. And sure enough, the appointment went longer. I came out and there was a parking ticket on my car. And I felt the Holy Spirit said, you know, you could have saved. This is going to cost you $25 and you wanted to save 50 cents. If you listen to me, I'll keep you out of this. With more help.
Yeah. So, now, let's back up for a second here, because I just know that some women are thinking, okay, you're saying the Holy Spirit is the helper. I see that clearly in Scripture. You're even giving me some of your own practical examples where you heard that voice. But I know, and you know, that there are many women saying, but wait a minute, I'm not hearing any voice. I'm not hearing any of that little whisper to my spirit. You know, what do you mean? How do I get to hear that help from my helper? What would you say to that woman?
Yeah, I think a lot of that's a problem for a boatload of people. Yeah. Sometimes me as well, because I think we go through seasons where we hear super well and seasons where, you know, we feel deaf. But I think that this particular book helps massively speak to that because it gives so many practical examples. And what I sense is I believe the Holy Spirit is always talking to us, and it's a matter of us being aware. And being attentive. And I like to, I just, you know, most of us, we don't have the luxury of, you know, sitting on a mountaintop and being quiet and still. That's not our lives.
No.
And the Holy Spirit knows that's not our lives and knows the demands, the stresses, the pressures, the mom taxi experience, knows all of that and knows what it takes to get our attention. But I think if we will yield and surrender and ask, and I do this often. I totally do this. I'm not hearing you. Would you please turn up the volume? Or I know that I'm struggling right now. So I just came back recently from India. And, you know, I have jet lag and, you know, it's a little tricky. So but I get up early in the morning because of the jet lag. And so I tell the Holy Spirit, you know, I really want to hear you. I want to sense you. I want to feel, I want to be aware of you. And I know come 2 p.m., 3 p.m. when I'm super tired and I want to take a nap and I'm really, help me increase my sensitivity. And when I ask that, I find the Holy Spirit run to that request. Run and is like attracted and like, it's like almost like a siren call, come to and just loves to answer that.
And I've found some things that have been helpful for me as well, which is again, asking, you know, but sometimes we forget to ask. And then just even the slightest pause of just waiting for, just calming myself for even just, you know, 5 seconds, just calming myself. And you know what else I found to be helpful is expecting, just expecting that I will hear from God. You know, really that's in a sense faith, wouldn't you say, if you're expecting to hear?
Yeah, and that's another part of the book that I speak to. You know, in Luke 11, Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock.
Yeah, there you go.
Ask for the Holy Spirit. Seek for the Holy Spirit. Knock. Knock on the door with the anticipation that it's going to open, and the Holy Spirit's going to be there to talk to you. And all of that, and I speak to it in the book on what does that look like, and how do you roll that into practical living? And I'm totally on your page. Whatever you look for is often what you find.
That's so true. That's so true. And it's not like either one of us is claiming that we hear an audible voice. Mm-hmm. At least I'm not claiming that.
No.
But
no.
It's that gentle, like, whisper to your spirit, or that word that suddenly pops into your mind, and it might have been for you, like, your purse is at the ice cream shop, you know, ice cream shop. That might have been all that you just, that thought just popped into your mind, and I'm going to always assume that is the Holy Spirit, unless it seems very contradictory to what God would say, right?
Yep, totally. Yeah. And the Word of God has to be the preeminent authority, indisputable. But it has to walk in step with that. And in the book I speak to some of that. And there's also in the book too, there's these great reflect and ask. So these questions, discussion questions at the end, that help do some depth charge, right? And really start making you think. And super great for small groups, like getting it in a Bible study or a Sunday school group, because it creates dialogue. And I find when I start, like you and me right now, when we start talking, we ping off of each other.
Exactly. Yep. There
right?
we go.
And so it helps me, like when you said, oh, you know, if I take 5 seconds and just wait, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. So that dialogue between us is really
helps.
Amazing. Yeah, fosters the Holy Spirit talking through other people to
there
us.
There you go. That's good. Now, before we go any further, let's tackle another little problem. I'm just going to call it a problem. And you tackle this in the book, that sometimes we get a little skeptical of anything that is too spirit-filled, as in charismatic, as in holy roller, as in, okay, I don't know about this. This is sounding a little bit like woo-hoo, and now I'm going to be dancing in the aisles of my church uncontrollably, and things are going to be happening. And okay, so you tackle this in the book. Do we need to be a little bit scared of that this is going to turn into something that is like wild and wacky and not of God? Help us through this.
Yeah, and that spooky, kooky stuff, right? And I grew up in a charismatic home, so I've been around, and I've been around both the authentic and the wacky. And I'm not into wacky. Nobody's going to sign up and say, "Yeah, I want to be kooky."
Yeah.
I think that the Holy Spirit really works alongside of our personalities. So knows how we're wired up. Some people more naturally extroverts, some people more naturally introverts.
Yes, that's true.
And I don't find that the Holy Spirit asks me to change my core DNA, how I'm wired up. If I tend to be a little bit more conservative, there's a difference between conservative and stubborn. Right? So sometimes I think or there's also this sense of pride. You know, I don't want to look like an idiot in front of all these people. And you have to really go to some of those motives. And the Holy Spirit speaks into those motives.
Yeah.
And I find that with the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, Sarah, you're being arrogant here. Or Sarah, you're being stubborn and you're resisting me. And Sarah, you're opposing me. And actually, you're grieving me. And book speaks to all those things. Because I think that at the end of the day, I want to follow the Holy Spirit, and I want the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit in my life.
Yeah.
And even if I make a mistake, when I make a mistake, I trust that the Holy Spirit has the power to redeem that mistake and turn it into something good.
Yeah.
In the book, I speak to, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit stop me. I was driving home one day from the mountains. I live in Denver, and right outside my neighborhood, the Holy Spirit stopped me and said, pray for this lady walking down the street. I'm like, I have no idea who this lady is. And the Holy Spirit's like, pray for her. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. This is lunacy. She's going to think I'm a freak. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, you are. Just pray. You are a freak. And I was like, okay. You know, so I jumped out of the car, and I communicated to the lady, my name's Sarah Bulling, and just saw that you were kind of limping a little bit, and I was a little concerned. Anything I can pray about for you? I'm not trying to be weird or anything, but just, you know, thought I could offer this as an opportunity. I find that if I'm just obedient like that, the Holy Spirit comes through and is gentle and kind, and I don't have to overpower somebody.
Yes.
I did that the other day, and they were like, somebody had some problem with their hand, and I said, you know, I'm a person of faith, and I believe in the power of prayer. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And she said, no, that's fine. And I didn't, like, grab her hand and start shaking and yelling and spitting. I think that's a little bit off the charts,
over the top, just a little bit.
Yeah. So I just think yielding and being gentle and also understanding the Holy Spirit knows mm-hmm. the clay, knows who we are,
mm.
and knows what he has to work with. So
yeah. Yeah.
I think, and being attentive to our own motives, mm. you know, am I resisting? Am I being stubborn?
Yeah.
Am I being arrogant? You know, am I surrendered? Hmm. Am I submitted? Am I yielded?
Yes. Oh, that's good. That's a good word right there. Well,
yeah.
let's take our first break. When we come back, let's talk about another super important, I guess I'll call it role of the Holy Spirit, and that is to be the flawless parent in our life, to maybe help us deal with a bit of an orphan spirit where our parents disappointed us. And you know, there's no perfect parent out there. So let's talk about that. And also the Holy Spirit as our teacher. We'll get to that in just a moment as well. With Sarah Bowling, her book is called Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life.
If you've been blessed by this talk show, please consider making a donation to our nonprofit organization called Great Awakening Productions. For more information, click on the donate button at thedebbiechavezshow.com.
Hi, my name is Lori Jo Smith. I'm a realtor with Coldwell Banker Bain. With 20 years experience and a lot of knowledge, I would love to share with you. I like to find solutions, creative solutions. I love to educate. I also believe I'm very good at it. I'm good with numbers, and I'm a great solution finder. I'm not going to sell you a house. I'm going to listen to what you're looking for, help you find it, educate you, walk you through the process, and make it a pleasant experience. I would love to talk with you, and of course, no obligation. Just call me up, and we can just chat. You'll find me all over the web. You'll find nice reviews to look at. My name is Lori Jo Smith at Coldwell Banker Bain. Just look my name up, and I'll pop right up.
Looking to try something new for dinner? Something to bring the whole family together that everyone will enjoy? Visit Hemplers.com for some great dinner ideas, like sausage jambalaya, easy ham recipes, and some satisfying soup suggestions. Hemplers Meats is a family-owned business on a mission to provide top-quality selections of ham, bacon, and sausage, made with no fillers and flavored with natural spices. And now with a complete line of nitrate-free products. For more information and where to purchase Hempler Meats, go to Hemplers.com.
Are you happy with your speed of internet service? Whether it's your home connection that's a concern or whether the internet service at your business is less than ideal, StarTouch Broadband Services may well be your answer. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider since 1998, and they are rapidly becoming the choice of high-speed internet service for both homes and companies all over Washington State. If you're looking for a super fast connection, StarTouch has the affordable answer. Check out StarTouch at their website, startouch.com, and get on board with no-hassle, high-speed internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services.
Hi, I'm Kathy Moreno, and I've ministered to women for over 15 years, and I've also been a longtime conference speaker and retreat speaker. I also have my degree in theology as well as aromatherapy, so I am a certified aromatherapist. I have a passion for helping women who struggle with anxiety, depression, and sleeplessness, and this passion comes from a personal experience of years of struggling with these issues myself. So I've created three different kits. One for depression called Joy, one for anxiety called Calm, and one for sleeplessness called Rest. It combines aromatherapy products also with the Word of God to bring the two together to really make an impact in relieving symptoms of depression, anxiety, and sleeplessness. I would love to help you, and you can find out more information at aromaplushealth.com.
Back on the program with author Sarah Bowling. Her book is called Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. And another role of the Holy Spirit is Jesus says in John 14 that he's not going to leave us as orphans. He says, I will come to you. And this is where, again, you talk about our scars, our father wounds, our mother wounds, you know, abandonment in childhood can develop an orphan mindset. How do we even recognize if we have this orphan mindset going on? Can you help us understand that, Sarah?
Yeah, it's a really tricky place to walk, particularly, I think, as followers of Jesus. We're taught, you know, honor your parents.
Yeah.
So, and that's like, you know, inviolable. You never want to, like, do, you just, you know. And some of us have had parents that are just, you know, really premium, high-octane, excellent parents. Mm-hmm. And some of us had kind of middle-of-the-road parents. And then some of us had parents that were, that we would consider abhorrible, you know, abysmal, like, just awful.
Yeah.
And I think, I think in the book I give some examples of what does it look like to feel abandoned, feel orphaned, feel whatever it is, neglected. Or there's also the abuse side of it,
sure.
You know, where,
yeah.
You know, you've been abused physically, emotionally, mentally. Mm. What is that? And as our parents, when our parents, when we're growing up with that, it's just, it gets in your skin and
yes,
really messes with your emotions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. And sometimes it isn't, like you said, out-and-out abuse or anything like that, but maybe your parents were too busy and you never had comfort or, you know, just even felt like you were important. I mean, you know, it could come in all sorts of ways, couldn't it?
Yeah, and I think you come to the acknowledgement that no parent is perfect.
Right.
And it's easy to check the box, right. But when you start to dig into that in your personal life, what does that look like and how does that roll out? What does that do to, how does that affect me?
Mm-hmm.
Without the Holy Spirit helping you and coming alongside those wounds, those gaps, those bruises, those events, those memories, without the Holy Spirit, we live in continual victim.
Yeah. You know, you point us to not only that verse in John 14, but also in Romans 8, where it talks about how, you know, we have received a spirit of adoption, you know, by our Heavenly Father. And then the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So for you, I'm not asking you to talk about your parents in particular, but I think we all have some kind of, you know, imperfection in terms of our parents. So have you felt the Holy Spirit, you know, step into that role in your life, you know, to help you overcome that orphan spirit?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I had great parents, mm-hmm. and I love them dearly.
Mm-hmm.
They were well-intentioned and still human and flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I think I was always like, you know, oh, they're great people, they're great, you know, and then as I started parenting and I saw, oh, wait a second, you know, I've got my own mistakes, without
sure.
a doubt, and I've totally blown it with my kids, and I tell them, look, lots of forgiveness and grace, but it also made me more aware of some of the shortfalls with my parents, and for a little while there, I didn't include the Holy Spirit in those thoughts and feelings and some of that reflection, and I was like, wow, and it wasn't a good place for me for a season. There was some real struggles in my own heart and emotions.
And this is where the Holy Spirit can get in there. And if we invite, do we need to invite the Holy Spirit into those broken places?
Yeah. And Holy Spirit reminded me when I was growing up of an experience, and I wrote about it in my book, where I was a kindergartner, supposed to be picked up. Somebody forgot to pick me up about the wrong date or time, whatever. And I had to walk home.
Oh.
You know, I'm 5 years old walking home. And it kind of scared me.
Of course.
But the Holy Spirit reminded me of that experience and how the Holy Spirit walked alongside of me that whole way, showed me the steps to take, and just really brought me through to huge victory.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know, not only did I bring you through that experience, but I'll bring you through this and some of these areas with your parents as well, and some of those memories and shortfalls, and the perfect parent, flawless parent, is the Holy Spirit.
Mm, exactly. And one of my favorite verses, and I know you noted it in the book, is from Isaiah 66, where it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." And, you know, and I love that verse because there are times where I just need comfort, like a mom should, you know, or a dad should bring that child up under their lap and just snuggle them and hold them close. And sometimes we need that. And the Holy Spirit can do that for you. I mean, we're not going to feel the physical arms. And yet, have you had that moment where you just sensed his comfort?
Yeah. And where I just was like, man, I feel like a little scared kid.
Yes.
And I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to manage. Absolutely. And and I find that, and as I parent my own kids, I find the Holy Spirit, you know, both in a paternal sense, fatherly, as well as a maternal, motherly sense. And I think, you know, we often see God as our Heavenly Father. Of course, I get that. But I think sometimes that maternal side sometimes gets neglected or ignored or whatever, dismissed or just, oh, I'd never even thought of it that way. But
interesting.
I think the Holy Spirit speaks to some of that, that expression of God being not only fatherly, but also maternal, motherly as well.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that helps me a lot to sense that comfort is when I'm starting to read the Psalms. Or I had a time in my life where I was just in great agony, a personal tragedy had happened, and my husband just got out the Bible and started reading the Psalms out loud. And I swear it was just like having the Holy Spirit wrap his arms around me and comfort me. There's something about reading the Psalms. Have you ever experienced that?
Yeah, yeah, totally. 100%, 100%. In fact, recently I was memorizing Psalms 25, and so much rich stuff in that particular psalm. And there are times when I'd wake up, you know, jet lag or something, and I'd start going through that psalm, and it was just this amazing spiritual presence.
Yes.
Since that's the Holy Spirit just coming right into the scene and saying, I'm right here,
that's
engaged.
Right. Love it. Well, let's move to another role of the Holy Spirit, which is a teacher for us. And this you reference in John 14, verse 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So what kinds of things does he teach us?
Man, you talk about amazing. And I think sometimes we don't ask for we don't learn because we think we're super smart, or we go to the web, right? We Google, right?
Yeah,
and then
right.
you look at YouTube for do-it-yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And I love all that stuff. It's awesome, but there's nobody that's a better teacher than the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit knows who we are, knows how we're wired up, knows how we learn. Hmm. I mean, I used to teach high school, junior high, and I loved figuring out my students and how they learned the best. And so you could kind of tailor answers and lessons, you know, to fit your audience. But the Holy Spirit knows us individually, knows how we learn, the best ways and times, and what lessons for when. And it goes to I would say, everything. Hmm. It goes to my marriage, teaching me, how do I be a good wife? In this particular situation, how do I be a good wife? Because there are times when I don't know how to be a good wife.
Sure, of course.
I'm at my wit's end. I'm like, what? This wasn't in Romeo and Juliet. This wasn't Shakespeare. Teaches me how to be a good parent. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have three kids, each extremely distinct, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. So teach me, Holy Spirit, how do I do this? Teach me, Holy Spirit, when I go international stuff, when I'm writing books, teach me what's the right, and even little stuff, you know, like when I'm driving, teach me which way is this, teach me how to do these things, teach me how to, there's times when I struggle with people, and I'm like, well, how do I manage, you know, some of these responses, because sometimes people are can be kind of weird, right? And so I'll do a whisper, a little quiet prayer. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Could you please help me?
Mm-hmm.
Teach me, please.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we ask, again, it goes to that ask, seek, and knock, asking for help, asking, teach me. I am clueless on how to roll this out.
Yes.
Then the Holy Spirit, it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to be for who the Holy Spirit is, and one of those roles is teaching.
Yeah, love it, love it. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, let's talk about a couple other roles of the Holy Spirit, one that he's going to help us be a witness to God for others, and how we take advantage of the Holy Spirit's help there. And also you say that he can give us, the way you worded it, I think, is an upgrade in our daily living. Oh, okay, we want some of that. So we'll talk about those roles in just a moment with Sarah Bowling. Her book is called Heavenly Help.
Spreading the fragrance of a rich spiritual life around the globe. This is The Debbie Chavez Show, heard every weekday by people all over the world at thedebbiechavezshow.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with yard work? Kane's Lawn and Garden can take care of that for you at a price you can afford. If you live in Whatcom or Skagit counties, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take care of your mowing, pruning, and property cleanup at your home or business. With over 20 years of experience, they know how to get the job done quickly and how to get the job done right. Visit their website at caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Kane's, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
We've all heard the saying, nothing is certain except death and taxes. Well, SIGS Funeral Services in Bellingham can't really help you pay your tax bill, but they can lower the price your family will pay when you reach the end of your time here on Earth, which, let's be honest, we will all experience. The knowledgeable and compassionate staff at SIGS Funeral Services can provide funeral services at about half the usual cost, and they're available to assist you 24 hours a day. Plus, SIGS can arrange additional discounts for veterans who were honorably discharged from the military. You might also want to take advantage of the Purple Cross pre-arrangement funeral program, which can be a real blessing for your loved ones. SIGS Funeral Services is fully licensed, and their staff will treat your family with tenderness, dignity, and respect. Learn more at SIGSFuneralServices.com.
The Carolyn Merriman Show, featuring licensed therapist Carolyn Merriman.
Whatever the thoughts are that are narrowing your life and intruding on you being free to live your life how the Lord wants you to live it, that's what you attack in cognitive therapy. And then a couple of things that are really helpful are creative arts therapy and play therapy, not just for kids. Sometimes, if your trauma is abuse-related, there have been rules that you were made to subscribe to, don't talk. If you can't break those rules internally yet, then acting it out and with a witness, you know? And creative arts therapy. Pictures of things that happen.
The Carolyn Merriman Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
And I never have to wonder if somebody cares for me. I love the Maker, and the Maker loves me.
Final minutes with my guest, Sarah Bowling. Her book, Heavenly Help, Experiencing the Holy Spirit in Everyday Life. All right, another role, I don't know if I should call these things roles, but for lack of a better term, Sarah, another role of the Holy Spirit is to help us be a witness, you know, to spread the gospel, basically. Have you had the Holy Spirit help you with that? Maybe you could give us an example.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I just had this happen, like, last week. Ooh. And this one blew me away, because I was like, oh my gosh, and one of the things I love in that particular chapter, the allegory for that chapter, is phenomenal. It's phenomenal because I think we have this idea that we have to turn into some kind of, you know, sandwich board to witness for Jesus, you know, or stand on the corner and hold up a sign, or, you know, and it feels sometimes a little bit awkward and, you know, like discoordinated. And what happened to me last week was I was coming back from India on a plane, and I sat next to this guy, and for short story, he's a Jewish gentleman that was injured, and as I sat and talked with him, I've studied Hebrew a little bit to help me with my Bible time, but we got to talk about Hebrew, and then we started talking about the Bible, and it was the most natural. We talked for, I'd say, at least 2 to 3 hours. And it was the most natural conversation about Jesus and about the Bible that I've ever experienced. And it just, and when I got off the plane, and he was super nice and very kind and friendly and curious. And, you know, it's the last leg of my trip back from India, so I would like to sleep, but this was such an amazing conversation. And you could sense the Holy Spirit right there in the thick of all of it.
Yes.
And what I loved about it is the Holy Spirit knows how I'm wired up.
Yep.
I'm not good with a sandwich board. I can't hold up a sign and say turn or burn.
Me neither.
It's just not, I'm not wired up that way.
Yeah.
But I am wired up to have some really deep, rich conversations about the Bible, about Jesus, and about having a close personal relationship. And that's exactly what happened and how this kind of unfolded with the gentleman sitting next to me. So I find that the Holy Spirit opens those doors that I can to share about Jesus in very organic and natural ways that are not just like and flows with our personality. Some people, I have a friend, she's super, super outgoing. She'd talk to anybody, the fly on the wall. She'd talk to the fly on the wall. And she can talk about Jesus, and she's, you know, exuberant and all that. That's just not me. And and she's totally talked to every witness, everybody, all this stuff. And it, you know, I'm like, ooh, I can't be her, but I can be me. And the Holy Spirit knows, working with me, what are the ways, what's natural for Sarah?
Yes.
And then flowing in those natural affinity, relationship connections, and open doors, open opportunities. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And God will provide with, you know, those just perfect moments, perfect timing, perfect words, so that we're not all like frazzled and frustrated and anxious and stressed and all this other stuff, because then it's probably that we're trying to do it on our own without the Holy Spirit's help, right?
Exactly. And that's the thing that I found. It's like when I got off the plane, my friend said this to me. He's like, you know, who in the whole Western Hemisphere would know? And he starts listing all these things, you know, German philosophers, Hebrews, all those things. And this guy would sit next to you of all the people.
Of course.
He's like, isn't that like a God alignment?
Yes, that's a Holy Spirit thing right there. Absolutely.
Totally.
Well, let's talk about another verse that you look at in your book, John 16, verse 7. Jesus is talking, and he says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And you call this the upgrade advantage. In fact, you say that maybe we can have an upgrade in our daily living because of the Holy Spirit, so help us understand how to grab hold of this.
See, I just think the Holy Spirit is so daily, so in our up and available for us in our daily existence. I think sometimes for those of us who have church background, we get kind of religious, you know, and especially those of us who are charismatics, you know, we have this idea that, you know, okay, we're going to speak in tongues and then that's the Holy Spirit. And okay, kind of, maybe, but more than that, I would say the Holy Spirit in our daily living. Upgrade. That's the upgrade, is that the Holy Spirit sits in the car with me as I'm driving my kids all over, you know, whatever, soccer, you pick something, is in the room as I'm sitting with my husband and we're talking about X, Y, and Z. Holy Spirit is with me when I wake up. I pray before I go to sleep, Holy Spirit, please, I want to have dreams about you, to speak to me in my dreams. And in my mind, this is an upgrade, because this is continual, 24/7. And no matter where I'm at on the planet, I mean, I might be in a red light district in Cambodia, in Phnom Penh. I might be at a malnutrition clinic in Angola. I might be at my kid's soccer game. I might be making dinner. But the Holy Spirit continually available all the time in every place.
Yes.
And in my mind, that's an upgrade. Not just doing the religious church thing on a Sunday morning, check the box, but rather deep in the weeds of my daily living.
Yes, I agree. Another role of the Holy Spirit, and again, I don't know if I'm using the right word role, but a facet of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say, is that he really is the provider of these special spiritual gifts that we all have if we are believers, you know, and you walk through in the book so many examples of these spiritual gifts. You know, someone might have the gift of wisdom or the gift of healing or faith or you know, tongues or prophecy or whatever. And then you also talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and of course we read about that in Galatians 5. So tell us a little bit about how you've been able to grasp hold of these aspects of the Holy Spirit.
Sure, and I love the gifts and the fruits because they're kind of consequences, they're results. I think sometimes we chase the fruit, you know, we try to make ourselves be patient.
That always works so well,
right?
Yeah.
Or we try to conjure up or drum up, you know, faith or healing, and, you know, we get emotionally intense. And in my mind, these are results. These are consequences out of a deep, consistent relationship with the Holy Spirit and the ongoing yielding, that daily thing. So that when I have that little prompt in my heart, pray for that person with her wrist, then it's an opportunity for that healing, gift of healing, to flow. And I say, yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, I've oftentimes had somebody, the Holy Spirit say, you know, ask this question. I was, the other day, saw a lady that was pregnant, and I, of course, I'm not going to ask her, are you pregnant? She might think I'm saying she's fat.
Yeah, but, we don't want to go there.
But I said, you know, how are you feeling? And she said, oh, you know, she's reached, I'm pregnant 6 months. And I said, I'll bet you. And I felt in my heart, she's tired all the time. She's having a hard time sleeping. And so I just said to her, are you struggling with your sleep? And she's like, oh, my gosh, I can't get a wink at night. Mm. So and she was a pizza register lady. So I reached across and said, let me just pray for you real quick here.
Yeah.
And just held her wrist for a brief moment and prayed with her. Word of wisdom. I mean, that's just kind of insight.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think I see this fruit of the Holy Spirit. I see it abundantly, the rub in my family. You know, being patient with my kids, long-suffering, gentle, kind,
yes.
You know, loving with my husband. Mm. Those are all results and consequences of deep roots in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, something I don't know that we've really mentioned, but we need to talk about, and you referenced it, I believe, in this section of the book about Paul's instruction that we should walk in the Spirit. And this begs that question about, okay, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I walk in the Holy Spirit so that I am bearing this fruit, etc.? So what would you say to that question?
I'd say a couple things. And I the book is great because it talks to, you know, some of the Greek words that speak to walking. What does it look like to walk?
Yeah.
But I would say, and the book in my mind is super, super helpful because I think if we don't recognize and appreciate who the Holy Spirit is, we treat the Holy Spirit kind of like as an object, you know, and not necessarily in a relational way or an integrated way in our daily living.
Mm-hmm.
So I think walking in the Spirit and having that intimate, ongoing fellowship connection with the Holy Spirit, and the book in my mind, and that's deep in my heart, and this has been, it's been brewing in my heart for almost 5 years for this book, and I think in some respects this is why I was born, and born in my particular family with my particular parents, raised the way I was, is to speak exactly to this whole sense of connecting with the Holy Spirit, to walk and let that daily existence roll into what does that look like, and it, because of our roots deep in the Holy Spirit. So I think we can't just treat the Holy Spirit as like an extension cord, you know, plug into the power kind of idea. Way more than that, and I think that's a little bit dismissive and shallow for really who the Holy Spirit is in our daily living.
So again, back to the person who's wondering, well, how do I become filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I walk in the Spirit? What would you say?
Well, right out of the gate, I'd say ask.
Okay.
Jesus says that, real simple. Ask for the Father to give you the Holy Spirit. Ask to be filled. I think it's real simple. And then when we ask, and Jesus talks about it as an ongoing way, so it's present tense, so you continually ask. I ask for the Holy Spirit daily. Help me when I'm driving. That ongoing asking and ask to be filled. I think sometimes we think once we get filled, then we're done. But I say we leak. So I want to ongoingly be filled.
So, yeah.
And I think the book speaks to a whole way of whole mindset to help us be continually filled and to be continually walking with the Holy Spirit.
And just lastly here, and we just have, gosh, a minute and a half left, but you do have a section of the book where you talk about maybe some warnings that the Bible gives us about resisting the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit. Could you give us maybe just a thumbnail sketch as to what we need to avoid doing?
And I think we don't oftentimes think about those things.
No.
Have I grieved? Have I hurt? Have I injured the Holy Spirit? Have I resisted? Nobody sets out to resist. We don't knowingly resist, but yet there are times when we do. There are times when I oppose, and Paul speaks to that, Ephesians 4, what does it look like to grieve the Holy Spirit in some of our conversations? And when I say no to the Holy Spirit, when I resisted with the parking meter, that's a little small thing, but it's nevertheless resistant. So I think it's really important for us to know some of that so we can avoid it.
Yeah. And then, of course, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We read about that's like the one unpardonable sin is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. In a nutshell, what does that even mean?
I my opinion is that's a coldness in the soul. And that's an ongoing opposition where there's a hardness where there's no acceptance whatsoever.
Yeah, basically rejecting God. rejecting God, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Boy, if we could cover a whole lot more territory, but we have reached the end of our time together. I think we covered a lot of ground. What do you think, Sarah?
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you. Yes. Such an honor. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was awesome. Just learning so much more about the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Sarah Bowling. And we have a couple of copies of this book to give away. If you'd like to receive a copy in the mail as our limited supply lasts, go ahead and email producer@debbiechavez.com. Again, that's producer@debbiechavez.com and ask for the book Heavenly Help by Sarah Bowling. We'll see if we can get a free copy to you. Coming up in 10 minutes on the Carolyn Merriman Show, her topic is how to recognize and accept your emotions. That'll be in 10 minutes here at faithplace.org. Until we meet again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him.